Hey y'all, welcome back to Manual Therapy Blog. I'm your host, Matt Thomason, as always. Today we're going to get to speak with another physical therapist, and not necessarily a strict manual therapist as we typically get to speak with on this blog, but today we're going to speak with a physical therapist that definitely deals a lot with movement and helping people move better. And it is none other than Dr. Teresa Larson. Teresa is practicing in San Diego, California, and her clinic name is Movement RX Integrated Health. And there's a lot of unique things getting to talk with Teresa, and some of them are her varied background and very interesting background as an athlete, as a Marine, as well as someone who has recovered from an eating disorder. You can learn a lot about those topics by reading a book that she wrote called Warrior, a memoir. In there, she documents and talks a lot about her childhood growing up and getting to live with two older brothers and a dad after unfortunate passing of her mother at a young age due to breast cancer. But we also get to learn how events such as that helped to shape her life in a positive way and give her a certain outlook on life. Another reason you may have heard of Teresa before is in recent years she has been an instructor on MobilityWOD, which is a website developed by Kelly Starrett out here in the Bay Area of California. In our interview with Teresa, we can get to hear an interesting story, a funny story about how she came to meet Kelly Starrett, and let alone get to teach with him, teach his material. And then as a movement specialist or a movement expert, we get to hear Teresa's opinion on a lot of different things related to rehabilitation of patients, and not just the run-of-the-mill, but athletes that like to participate in things like CrossFit. Probably a more interesting thing is adaptive athletes. Teresa helps to train and rehabilitate athletes that may have amputations or they're facing some other physical limitation, but they still want to train. They still want to go out there and kick butt. And Teresa is and her partners where she works do everything that they can to help them achieve their goals, improve their function, improve their physical condition, despite any physical limitations that they may have. So a lot of interesting things that we get to learn and hear from Teresa in her realm down in Southern California. So I hope you guys get to appreciate this interview as much as all the other ones that we've gotten to do. As always, if you have any feedback for us or have any comments, please leave them on our website or Facebook or Twitter. Always be on the lookout for new content. If you're not able to check back frequently, then by all means, like us on one of those things or put your email address in the bottom of the front page of our website. That way you can get updates on any new content that gets to come out. And if you find any of our content worthwhile or has special meaning to you, then by all means, please share it with others. That way more and more people can benefit from what we're getting to do here. Okay, without further ado, here is Teresa Larson. Teresa, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing today so far?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been an interesting day so far.
Well, if you can just give us a little bit of a background about yourself, like where you're from and any other thing about growing up in childhood that kind of led you to where you are today. Do you mind starting?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Seattle, Washington. I actually grew up in a log cabin with two older brothers and my dad. And I had chickens, lambs, pigs, a dog, a couple cats. Like, it was like a little mini farm. it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a nice way to grow up.
Yeah, it was a nice way to grow up. We had a little pasture where we had a basketball hoop and you know, tree forts and like a little pitching area that I would practice softball in. So, and a little scarecrow we built. So it was a really fun little area to grow up. And see, I lost my mother when I was 10. So I remember her, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. And that definitely influenced me and how I was raised and, like, you know, decisions I'd made, like high school, college, stuff like that. So, yeah. And it still influences me and it's definitely changed me. And I'd have to say, you know, it was very challenging. It's been challenging, but I am stronger for it. Mm-hmm. And definitely more resilient thanks to her. So, but yeah, I grew up in Seattle. Then I went to, for college, I went to Villanova University in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And was recruited to play softball there. So I played, I was a pitcher on their softball team for 4 years. And also did NROTC, so Naval ROTC, but I was a Marine option. So I had, you know, basically two different duties. School was paid for, which was nice. Two different duties as a Marine option and pitcher. So very busy in college. So I, as you can probably imagine, academics was like second to all of that. Yeah, yeah. So I got a political science major, not even thinking I would go into any kind of medical field at all. Like I had no idea and I had no interest.
Yeah.
Actually, like I was going to stay in the Marine Corps or go in the FBI. Like that was it.
Oh, cool.
Little did I know about any of what long-term career in the Marine Corps looked like or the FBI, but I was like, yep, those are the two tracks. So, yeah, I mean, going to Villanova was awesome. You know, I had my fair share of challenges, but it was also a really good experience. I got to experience the college life, you know, school, ROTC. I got a little taste of the military training and then be a full-time collegiate athlete, which was great. Mm-hmm. And travel all over the East Coast. And then from there, so I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps when I graduated and was stationed. So I went through the basic school, which was 6 months in Quantico, Virginia. And it went through in the winter, so the winter to the spring time. And then became, from that, they sent me to engineering school, where I was just with a handful of Marines officers learning demolition, construction, all that good stuff. So again, not medical at all. And did 3 months of engineering school in North Carolina, Camp Lejeune. And then from there, I was stationed, given a duty station of Camp Pendleton, California, which is what brought me out here.
Oh, okay.
To California. Yeah, and so I was a platoon commander for 3 years of my Marine career, so mm-hmm. the four years I served, little less than four. The three, I was a platoon commander.
Okay. So in reading your book, there's a lot of very impactful things that I imagine had on your life as you were going from childhood to college and then the Marine Corps and beyond. One of the things that I really enjoyed reading was some of the important stuff that your mom told you before she passed that really stuck with you. Would you mind mentioning a couple of those?
Not at all. So the biggest, a couple of the biggest things were, so she was dying of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can only imagine now being a parent of a new little one. It's like the things that went through her mind. And I've actually read some of her journals. So you know, she's a very strong woman, but I know she was struggling on the inside because she knew she was going to pass and she had three young children.
Yeah.
And my dad. And I remember, you know, talking with her like, life, this is so unfair. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you have to be the one that goes? Like, you have a family and you're young and, you know, just all the little things like a 10-year-old girl would say to a mom that was passing away. And she, I remember her just grabbing my face, you know, in a gentle way and saying, you know, life is unfair, but life has to go on. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to go on. And, you know, that's as many times in my life. There's been a handful of times, unfortunately, that I haven't wanted to have life go on. Like, it seemed too painful, or like, what's the point? And I always think of that because, you can always come to a crossroads in life or a situation, and you can choose to keep going or you can choose to stop. And sometimes it's okay to stop and take a breath, but not stop and let go, like keep going, you know? And so that was very impactful for me, and it's helped me in my life because, I saw this woman who was young and going to die just express such resilience and like educate my father on how to take care of three young kids. You know, it's whereas, that could break anyone. It's like, why would who you that must be so hard to do when you know you're not going to be around, and or to keep it together. And she really did, like, she kept it together. So
So then, after your time in the Marines.
yeah, after my time in the Marines, I transitioned. I did that lovely transition that all military people look forward to. Not it's tough, like transitioning from a tribe that you're so used to, not knowing what's next really, or having like confidence in what's next because you've been doing the same thing for a number of years. And I had to get out of the military a little early because I had an eating disorder, and basically the way the military works, if you've had an eating disorder or an addiction and you're in garrison and you ask for help, like you can stay in, but your job might be different. But if you're deployed and you come back, like I had to be deployed or medevaced back from Iraq. And as an officer, typically these addiction things, they know what to do with alcoholism, but they don't know what to do with eating disorders. Typically it's you need to get out. There's no other choice. So I got out before I wanted to. However, as hard as that was, I didn't let it get me down. I knew I had to keep pushing forward, and I
Yes,
didn't
that was the
blame the
right thing.
military. They definitely don't know how to handle situations that aren't what they're used to. Like, even though eating disorders may be more common than we think, alcoholism is the most common. So, like, they know what to do with that. But any other issue is just easier to get rid of that person or situation. So, getting out, I had to kind of, all right, what's next? I have to fend for myself. I have to advocate for myself. And so I thought I'd gone through counseling at this time. This was back in 2007. I decided to go play a year of professional softball in Italy. I made the team out in Sardinia, Italy. And
Oh, you poor
so,
woman.
huh?
I said, you poor woman.
Yeah, it was so tough, so tough. So I played a season out there and explored Italy, and then kind of realized through that experience too, like, all right, I played enough softball in my day. I think I'm good. And I came back, and mind you, I'm still going through therapy for my eating disorder too. So I had gone through therapy while I was in the Marine Corps at the very end, and then while I was playing softball too. And when I got out, when I finished playing softball, the symptoms of bulimia had dissipated, thankfully, which is the side so more purging and exercise type of bulimia. And so I was just dealing with the other things, that come with it. So thankfully, I wasn't doing the really harmful physical things to myself anymore. And for all those that don't know about emotional disorder, like an eating disorder or an alcoholism or any other addiction, it's a really bad habit someone develops, and it's a way of coping with the stress or life. It's a negative way of coping, and I think many people can attest to having some kind of struggle on that spectrum of maybe it's a hard day, they just go and binge on food or alcohol. Some people take it to another extreme, right? Like, some people actually have really good habits, hopefully, like
Yeah,
doing
coping
meditation
strategies.
and exercise. So, unfortunately, at the time I didn't, but I learned, I changed out of that. So, after Italy, now that I was, symptom free of the physical things that bulimia was I was experiencing bulimia, I was able to like think more clearly on, all right, what's next? What am I going to do? And I've always been interested in, you know, medicine and physical, like medicine and fitness. And so I was like, well, how can I combine those two things, those two worlds? And I thought about chiropractic, but I was receiving chiropractic care at the time and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like helping me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like they just wanted me to keep coming back. And I was like, I don't know. That's not that. I don't know if that's really my mo- like what I want to do or what I believe in. So I looked at physical therapy, and physical therapy too, like traditional setting wasn't my thing, but I saw a PT doing work with athletes in a performance center I was working in. When I got back from Italy, and I was like, oh, so he's training them and treating them. That's cool. I think I can do that. And there you go. Then I was like, I'm going to PT school.
Now, was that PT Kelly Starrett, or was that later on?
No. This was a PT that was working in Redondo Beach.
Oh, okay.
This was back in 2009. I just saw him. It was at Velocity Sports Performance. He was working with athletes and then treating them as well.
Oh, cool.
So like he'd treat them and then bring them out on the floor and do some training with them. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. I didn't even my gunny from the Marine Corps had told me about Kelly Starrett. He's like, well, if you want to be a PT, you should look up Kelly Starrett. And I'm like, well, I don't know who that is and don't care right now. You know?
Yeah.
Like, because he's like, well, and you got to do CrossFit too. And I'm like, I don't care about CrossFit. and so go figure, you know, once I graduated the semester before I graduated from PT school, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do out of PT school? I did not. So as much as I had these great internships, I was in Colorado, I was in Hawaii, I was in Austria, but what? I can't say. Yeah, I had these really cool internships. Austria. You should ask Ray about it. I got pretty lucky. Because, I mean, in school, I mean, I'm such a, in a way, idealist. I'm like, oh, neuro, oh, ortho, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
All of it. I want to do all of it. And the reality of some of those jobs traditionally just didn't fit me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy. I was like, I was in a really good neuro clinic in Colorado Springs, but I didn't enjoy it. Not that I didn't enjoy the patients. It just
wasn't right fit for you.
Wasn't right for me. Yeah. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And then my gunny called me again. I was like, Kelly Starrett, look up Kelly Starrett. And I was like, I looked him up and I was like, oh my gosh, he's doing what I want to do. So I called him, or I emailed him, and he emailed me back and he's like, give me a call. So I gave him a call and he was like, come up and visit. And so I did. I took a road trip and went and trained with him. And, you know, I just, he could tell I was probably a little flustered. I was just like, Kelly, I want to do what you're doing. I was like a sad puppy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he's like, you Amazons. Like, I'm a pretty tall woman. You know, I'm 6'1" and athletic. And he's just like, you're wearing high heel shoes. All the things, like, you need to learn how to move, you need to learn how to coach. I'm like, I don't know how to move. It's like, no, you need to learn more. you need to dive into it more. I'm like, okay, I gotta be a coach. So I mean, and I was like, well, Kelly, I'll do all these things, and by the way, I'd like to teach your course one day, just throwing it out there. And so he's like, okay. I mean, I'm not ready to have people teaching it yet, but I'll keep that in mind. You know, kind of like, all right, lady, you can go now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was really nice. He was just like, hey, you know, why don't you do your own thing? You know enough about strength and conditioning. I mean, you need to become a coach. You have a lot to learn there, but
yeah.
Start to develop your own practice, and you have at least the mobility piece to start. Right. And I know now that mobility is only a small piece of helping someone heal, but
right. It's
still a piece that helps people learn about their body and gets them doing maintenance. And if that's what gets people doing maintenance on their body, then great.
Yeah.
And so I kept in touch with him, and I put him in touch with my good friend, Deanna DeToro, who was a Marine who went to USA. Mm. And she and him became friends as well. And then we both went to one of his courses here in San Diego probably like 5 years now, 5 years ago, mm-hmm. like right when I graduated PT school, and he came up to both of us and was like, I want you ladies to teach my course one day. Cool. And I was like, okay. Almost crapping my pants. You know, like my only, I mean, I've talked in front of groups before, but like, I wouldn't say my speeches in front of a PT school, my classmates, was epic or anything. You know, it wasn't like, wow,
well,
you're such a...
Hey, I gotta admit, reading your book, I think there's some speeches that you gave to your Marines that were pretty epic.
Oh yeah, that one was like, that was the... So I've had a couple in the Marine Corps, but the one I put in there, I was just like, I was livid. And, you know, that's when I lost my marbles. I was just like, you little sons of...
it was hysterical to read. And I can only imagine being there at the time. I probably would have crapped my pants too.
Yeah, well, it was... So I enjoyed the Marine Corps experience, man. But talking with Kelly, I was like, okay. So I guess he was thinking about scaling his course so other people could teach it. And he picked, you know, I think it was just women, strong women he knew that could speak in front of people, basically PTs. And so I, you know, and then he had a couple guys. But he was, the cool thing is he's got a very strong wife, Juliet, with him, and like they really worked together well, and they know that they needed strong female leads.
Yeah.
Because in the strength and conditioning world especially, it's still very male dominated. And I've been able to break into it a little bit because I can speak the language, it's still, you know, very male dominated. So
it also gives you instant street cred when you're 6'1" and muscular and worked out your whole life. It's like
that helps. So it very much is about that. And then having worked with Marines, you got the can deal with egos.
Yeah,
I can deal with the egos. Yeah. So it was pretty cool. Started ramping up for the first course, and I've taught about 40 of the courses over the last 3 years. Haven't taught this last year, being pregnant and having a kid, and I'm actually teaching. I've created my own course that I put on the MobilityOne platform called it's Functional Adaptive Training. The CrossFit came to me and asked me to lead a course, which again, I was crapping my pants. I was like, okay. But learning the, you know, at this point in my life, I'm now mature, a little more mature. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I have a child on the way. I have a lot going on in my business. Can I afford to spend time away from my family and my business? And I need to make sure that I'm present with my business and family right now. Eventually it'll be scalable, but right now it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kelly offered to put it on his platform, and I did it digitally, so I don't have to travel.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
And yeah, and we'll have CEUs available for PTs. I'm working on that right now. So that's like the latest adventure of courses anyway that I'm doing. And I'm thankfully doing it with MobilityOne.
Cool. Like I've told you previously in an email, just for people out there listening, I first learned about Kelly Starrett probably a couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago, and it was just some quick video that somebody showed me on YouTube. And I mean, not knowing anything about him or not being open-minded enough at that time to actually sit down and listen to what he has to say and what he's doing. So fast forward to recent months, I actually did sit down and I heard him do a couple of interviews, podcasts with Tim Ferriss. It's like, wow, I really like what he has to say. And so that's kind of how I got started looking at those things. And then through a mutual friend of ours, got introduced to you. Part of that's just to lead in and just kind of tie a few things together as to why we're talking about MobilityOne and Kelly Starrett. But how has that shaped what you wanted to do practice-wise? So if you could describe for listeners out there what your practice is down in San Diego and what you're trying to achieve, I think that'd be great to kind of hear and talk about.
So MobilityOne has definitely been an inspiration for me. in terms of starting my own practice. And my practice is called Movement RX down here in San Diego. And it's basically strength, it's very strength and conditioning focused, that return to sport. So the way I see the training environment and my practice is based around how am I going to return that person to doing what they love? And so it's like, it's very, I think, very wellness based. It's like you come in, you have this injury that we treat, but then we want to coach you back to health, whether it's you're trying to learn how to golf again or snatch or clean and jerk or do pull-ups or run. Like, we want to get you back to doing those things. So we aren't confined by insurance. We do take TRICARE and TriWest, but those give us some leeway, but mostly cash pay here, so we can kind of treat people as needed and when works for them, and we aren't confined by restrictions of insurance. So we have a studio here in downtown. We used to have mobile little facilities all over San Diego. Mm-hmm. Like we had a few PTs on staff where we'd run around San Diego working in various gyms, and we've recently just gone to being downtown. We have a location in North County and one in Chula Vista, but those are kind of satellite areas that we use as needed.
Okay.
So, but it's kind of nice to now have one spot that we go to.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things that I'd kind of spoken with you previously about very briefly is that obviously this is a blog dedicated mainly toward manual therapy, but as my career goes on, and you know, you're out of training, you're out of learning environment to learn new approaches or new techniques, things like that, and you realize that, or I realize that, manual therapy has its place, and its place is to improve how people move.
Yeah, when, exactly.
When needed. But beyond that, there's so many patients that I've seen in the past and even currently that are just so deconditioned or weak, and they're in chronic pain and is this and that, and they're not even athletes, but they just need to get off their ass and work their ass off.
Yeah.
And just really exercise and exercise and exercise. And that's another reason why I wanted to speak to you, because I think as a profession, physical therapists have as a whole lost a little bit of that in terms of taking somebody properly through an exercise program, whether it's a professional athlete or a high school athlete or 52-year-old guy with chronic back pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I really like the things that you're doing and things like mobility wide and other things, because they haven't lost that and they're pushing that forward.
Yeah, well, I think that the important thing for me is that I'm having fun doing it. Like, I can't, like, that's the thing, I can't go into a career anymore where I'm like, I'm just going through the motions and I'm doing what, you know, said insurance I don't like being told what to do anymore, clearly. Yeah. you know, so having an insurance company tell me what to do, like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen to me. And that's just my personality too. And I want to dictate it. And when people come in, you know, they've lost a little sense of, they're a little vulnerable with where they're at and they want to get back into training because training is a big part of their life, or they just need that boost. And I'm like, I'm so ready to connect with that person and do it and help them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's motivating for them because I'm not just, well, people like manual therapy and appreciate it. Yeah. I know that the gold standard is proper, you know, movement training, movement pattern retraining. So once you've manipulated, mobilized a joint, soft tissue, then you get them up and you retrain a movement, because that's what's functional.
Exactly.
Like, they, you can massage them all you want, or stim, you know, put stim on them, or, you know, give them a hot pack, but that's not gonna fix the cause. And like, when you really get to the root of the cause and you educate them on it, it's like, okay, now you're truly doing preventative work. You're like, okay, this, your brain has perceived this movement as a threat for a long time. You can rewire that. Let's slow you down. Let's teach you how to breathe. Let's load the proper joints effectively. And over time, you know, being realistic, it takes time to develop a new habit, you know, and develop, you know, changes in connective tissue with consistency. You will change and you will be, I can't commit to you being pain-free because that's on your own time, but you will be more functional.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and it's just more fun for me. Like it's, that's the way people should be treated. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, it's, I don't working. So I do spend, you know, time on the table with people, but the sooner I can get them up and see them loading, see them doing things, see them doing push-ups, see them doing pull-ups, whatever it is that they're into, the better.
Yeah.
So, because they're going to do it anyway. And so, as really, I think that's something that a lot of PTs need to know, and any health professional is, and I've known this working with the adaptive population, because you look, you know, I work with people who have traumatic brain injuries and below the knee amputees and above the knee and, you know, macular degeneration, like people who are blind. And it's like, okay, you know, think about, you know, people look at CrossFit and that don't really understand it. And I don't do CrossFit right now. I'm on my own strength training program, but like they see, oh my gosh, this guy with a missing limb is doing CrossFit, or that person's doing CrossFit. It's like, well, they're doing some kind of resistance training, which is good. Could CrossFit do better? Of course. Coaches could be always be better, but they're doing something. And the key as a PT is to help them do it right. So don't, you know, sit there and say, don't do it, because they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So regardless of what, if you tell them not to do it, you're going to lose their trust right away. You got to, if they really want to do it, then understand what CrossFit is about. Understand what, you know, downhill skiing for a below the knee amputee, what it looks like.
Yeah.
Just, you know, that's what our job is to empower people to continue moving versus disempowering them and telling them they can't.
Yeah, and part of my background is training with a group called the Institute of Physical Art, and actually get to teach with them too. And
oh, nice.
Part of that influence is from PNF and the people who came up with PNF, in that there is always existing or untapped potential in anyone. And it's part of our job to discover that and to show that to them, teach them about that, not just you always want to give the patient hope.
Yes.
And, you know, who are you to say that this person can't be helped? Even if you're not the person to be able to help them, something else can, somebody else can. And all that keeping everything in its place to be realistic, but still being able to help people with their overall function.
Yes.
So
yeah, well, that's the key, is that overall function. What do they want to do? I mean, I have a woman who, you know, she's a physician, was hit by a boulder hiking.
Oh.
T4 spinal cord injury complete.
Oh.
And she wants to get back into training. So, heck yes, I'm going to get her back into training.
Wow. That's pretty impressive then.
Yeah, it's just like, well, why not? Like, if I were her, I would want to find someone to help me do that. And if anyone told me no, I'd be like, get out of my way. I'm going to find someone who can help me.
Exactly. So, can you describe for us a little bit about how you started out your practice? Because I know you said it started out without a brick and mortar site, but I mean, you weren't taking insurance, so everything was cash pay. How did you start with that, and how did you build it up?
So I mean, I know that most PT clinics are insurance based, but that was something that when I was talking to Kelly Starrett, it was like, okay, well, run a cash pay clinic, you know. In the CrossFit world, especially if you're doing it and you're walking the talk, like, people will invest in you. Mm-hmm. And you're a very niche, you have a very niche focus. So what you need to do is go in there and show them what you're going to do, and show them that, you know, just basically walk the talk, train with them, be in the trenches with the athletes, understand the movements, coach them. And so I was like, I think I put in my 2-week notice to my company I was working with before I got married, and then got married, went on my honeymoon, and was like, my husband and I came up with this idea of doing like home health for CrossFit, you know, going into gyms and helping their athletes, like different days, different gyms. Mm-hmm. And I was developing relationships, of course, in these different gyms. And I did spread myself a little thin, of course, for a little while, but cash pay was the way to go. People were investing, because I was also saying, you know, my job isn't to see you twice a week for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. It's to evaluate you and see, go from there with what we need. And most likely it's going to be 1 to 4 visits. That's it. Like, if I can't get you better in that amount of time, then I'm going to refer you.
Yeah.
And so I gave them that up front, like, I'm not stringing you along here. And I don't see people usually once a week. It's every other week, sometimes once a month if they're on a wellness program. Mm-hmm. So it actually worked out, because I'm also not only, you know, because I'm coaching, I'm also, people in the community started to see me as this, okay, well, I need to understand this cue. I need to understand my footwork. I hit a plateau, like I'm having pain under this kind of load. And so I've kind of become that person that people go to for those odd cases, mm-hmm. questions. And so it's, people pay cash for it.
Yeah.
And it's fine. Like, not taking insurance was a blessing. And eventually we decided to try taking insurance for a short period of time, and it didn't fit our model. We just kept, however, we did keep TRICARE, TriWest, because it's veteran and military.
Yeah.
And so we have a large population of that here, and that's been fine. But other than that, yeah.
Now, there's a few questions that we try and ask everybody that I get to interview. So you can take as much or as little time to answer them as you want. But
sure.
Are there anything in past or present that you've heard in terms of either best or worst advice that you've heard being given to other people?
You mean, okay, so best advice and worst advice?
Yeah, best or worst advice that you've heard being given to other people.
Or myself.
Yeah, or yourself. That's fine too.
Okay, yeah, I think probably best advice I've been given is find someone who is doing the kind of practice you want to do, practicing the way you want, or, you know, whatever it is you want to do, whether it's traditional PT or not, find someone doing what you want to do and go talk to them. They're human beings. You know, like, yeah. Literally go and spend some time with them. Maybe you have to pay them to go out to dinner or pay for their time, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And then and that's the best advice I received, and I received that from my father. Hence why I went to spend time with Kelly Starrett, and, you know, when I was in college, I went to spend time with the top softball pitcher in the world in Texas. Like, I sought out the best in what I thought, you know, what I thought was the best, and what I was doing at the time, and learned from them.
Yeah.
Learn what I could. And I hadn't maintained the relationship with the pitcher, but I've maintained a relationship with Kelly and his wife.
Yeah.
And probably the worst advice was what I received in my initial clinic was, so knowing my background as a Marine, I went to my people that were running, owners of the clinic, and I'd become part of this nonprofit speaking. I was doing some speaking for this Wounded Warrior nonprofit, and I was basically wanting to do, like, Some Fridays, there was like 4 Fridays I'd have to travel so I could speak on a Saturday. And it was, the nonprofit was going to pay for me to travel, but of course it's like pro bono.
Yeah.
But I asked the clinic, I was never really busy on Fridays. It's like, can I just put in my 40 hours during the 4 weeks as I want to teach, you know, start doing some mobility for these wounded warriors. And they're like, the owner of the clinic was like, you shouldn't be doing that yet. You're only a first year out of school. Like, you need to give yourself time. You should be just seeing patients right now.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, no.
Yeah.
That's a big no. And how it came out, because I wanted to do this so badly and I felt so, like, you know, confined at this clinic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably a years of buildup of just wanting to do something different and be free. And I thought that maybe this would be an answer, but it wasn't, right? This clinic wasn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. Good people, right intentions, but just not a good fit.
Yeah.
I just started crying. I was like, nope. And I walked away and they're like, what happened to her? But that's how it came out. I was so upset. Like, don't, you know, I want to do this. This is a passion of mine. I know I can make it work on the other days.
Yeah.
Of course. But so then I realized I can't, this isn't healthy if I stay here. I got to move on. Yeah. I need to have the freedom to do the things I love to do. And if I don't treat, you know, 80 patients a week, I treat maybe 20, 25 and coach, and that's fine for me.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, if you could challenge other people within your profession or even outside of PT in the coaching community, if you could challenge those people to something, what would it be and why?
So I would challenge them to, one, just take ownership of their own health first and activity. So if they're if you're a movement specialist, then find a movement practice you love and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, is we are we diagnose and prescribe and give exercise, but a lot of us have let ourselves get deconditioned,
yeah,
and not maintain being active. And so first of all, I would say just take ownership of your health and be active, because it's only going to make you a better PT. You know, people are going to be empowered by you. But two, and it doesn't mean you have to be aggro about it, just get involved in something and be passionate about some movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then two is be open to when someone comes in and is involved in some recreational activity that you don't know anything about, learn about it. Don't tell them no. Find a way to make it happen.
Yeah, great advice.
Yeah, good.
Now, a couple more questions. If you could only treat one particular area of the body or body region on most patients that you see, what would it be?
If I could treat one area of the body?
Yes, on majority of the patients that you see.
The pelvis.
Why?
Because it's the center. It's the center of mass. It's the center of our body.
Mm-hmm.
It has one of the diaphragms in it, your pelvic floor, which connects, you know, is integrated with the diaphragm. Those two working together. It's an area of, I mean, it's especially not necessarily walking. Like, I believe the walking is a chain reaction, right? Starts with the ankle, works your way up, but
right.
The pelvis, the strength in the pelvis, the control in the pelvis can affect the above or below joints.
Okay.
So it'll affect the low back, which will affect the thoracic, which will affect the neck. It'll also affect the knees and the feet.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy working with the pelvis, because you've got your woman's health stuff, you got your men's health, you've got your strength, your loading, you've got, it's your powerhouse. It's, it can improve or take away your quality of life if that's injured. So
are there any particular things that you see common with your patients that you end up treating with their pelvis?
So I do experience, so a lot of people that come in to see me have, I kind of put it into the disc dysfunction category.
Mm-hmm.
Like lower lumbar, higher sacrum, sacroiliac joint dysfunction with women.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's usually the lack of stability in those areas.
Mm.
And teaching people that mobility really isn't, you know, a lot of people that come to see me are maybe stretching too much and it's making them worse. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And or not being able to brace their spine and achieve like a neutral spine and a stable low back before they load. And they lose it through their motion and they don't know where. So a lot of it's me diagnosing, you know, their movement pattern dysfunction, their physical impairment through their movement. Mm-hmm. Like, but they come to me with an MRI or, you know, someone else told them they've got some disc herniation, disc bulge, you know, strain, sprain, something like that in the low back, hence why I created the low back program. Which is, you know, it's not for everyone, but it is a strong program that helps people get back to, you know, their retraining movement patterns, which is the primal ones are squatting, pushing, pulling, hinging, carrying.
Mm-hmm. If you could, last question, if you could teach all your patients one thing, if it's only one thing that you could teach them, what would it be?
If I could teach my patients one thing?
Yeah, only one thing, what would it be?
I would teach them how to squat.
Okay, and is that just because we as a society aren't used to going through that range of motion in our hips and ankles, or something else?
Yeah, it's just we aren't strong in it. So, movement wise, mm-hmm. I would teach them how to squat because we do it all day. We squat to a chair, we squat to toilet. Right, it's a way to strengthen the hips that protects the low back, that protects the knees.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one thing that keeps us really functional, right? We can pick things off the ground, we can pick up kids.
Yeah.
We, that archetype, you know, when we golf, we're in a kind of a mini squat position, more of a hinge, really.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sports we play require squatting to some degree. It's like, so doing it right, you can actually create power in those hips, build strength versus mess up your knees if you do it right. That would be the big one. I mean, I'm a big believer in breath control, but you know, of all movements, like I want people to squat well.
Yeah. Okay. Can't disagree with that. That's a very important thing. Now, Teresa, we're pretty much wrapping up. You're very active on social media and other things along with your business. Can you direct us listeners to any particular social media accounts or websites that we can find or learn more about you?
Yes. So you can find, if you want to learn about my individual practice, that's kind of slowly creeping into the online space, it's movement-rx.com. The program I developed through MovementRx is the lowbackfix.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to learn a little bit more about my story, The Warrior, the book I wrote and whatnot, and why this journey is, why I'm where I am today, drteresalarson.com is where you can go.
Oh, fantastic. So for all those listening to this, I've read the book that Teresa just mentioned, and whether you are struggling with different things related to either eating disorder or poor coping strategies, like you mentioned earlier, any number of things, it's, even if you don't struggle with that, it's a very inspirational book, and I'd certainly recommend it. To everyone.
Thank you.
To everyone listening.
Thanks, Matt.
Teresa, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Matt. Thank you.
Appreciate it.